Now she says the bride is responding, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes." Think this is interesting. He speaks to her and tells how wonderful she is. And now she turns right around and says the same thing to him. "Thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair," is what he says. And she turns right around and she says, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved." Now, let's look at that for a moment. "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." I mentioned this last time. She's the one that said, "I'm black, for the sun hath looked on me." Sunburn. And what does he say? He says, "Thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." You see, we've sinned. We've committed iniquity. We've done wickedly. We've rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. That is the confession of every Christian, if he's a child of God. And now, what has happened is, the Lord Jesus could say, "I've given them thy word, and they've kept thy word." And that's his pleading for you and me today. And as God would see no iniquity in Jacob, a perverseness in Israel, and wouldn't let Balaam criticize him, oh, he went down and dealt with him. God dealt with him, but he won't let a heathen prophet do that because he sees us today in Christ. "Behold, thou art fair." And the secret of the beauty is in this: "Thou hast dove's eyes, eyes chaste and constant." For what is it? Why, they have the beauty of the bridegroom because they have their eyes fixed upon him. And all the beauty is derived. Why, if the eye be single, you remember, the whole body is full of light, and full thereof also of beauty. For if the eye be double, the body is full of darkness. And we need to keep an eye on him. And the Lord Jesus laid it on the line. He said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." You've got your eye fixed upon the Lord Jesus. Oh, I get tired of all these dedicated Christians that are as lazy as they can be. I've been in many conferences. I hear a great deal about dedication. As a friend said to me that makes the rounds about like I do of these different groups, he says it's interesting where they're always talking about dedication and that they want to manifest Christ. You get the sorriest service. Man, they're lousy, if you ask me. That's not a good word, but it's not good what they're doing. But they're always talking about how dedicated they are, and they want to serve the Lord. And they're lazy as they can be. My friend, you don't talk about it. You reveal it. And you reveal your love to him. But it must be manifested in your life. "Thou art fair, my beloved." Now, the bridegroom is to those of us who believe. He's everywhere. He's beautiful. He's no superstar. He is altogether lovely. And he's fair in heaven. And he's fair. "Oh, thou art fair, my beloved." He's fair in heaven. He was fair on earth. He was fair when he was in a virgin's womb. He was that holy thing. He was fair in the arms of his parents. He was fair in the miracles he performed. Fair in the stripes he bore. He was fair when calling upon life. Fair when disregarding death. Fair in laying down his life for you and me. Fair in receiving it again. Fair on the cross. Fair in the sepulcher. Augustine said that. And he's pleasant. You know, the word is used to describe the wonderful melodies of the sanctuary. Sing praises to him because it is pleasant. That which is pleasant. He's pleasant. He's lovely. Why would people run away from Jesus Christ? He's so wonderful, so lovely. "Behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, and the agreeableness of a chosen earthly friend, closer than a brother. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me, O Jonathan." That's what David said of Jonathan. What can you and I say of the greater than Jonathan, our Jesus? Can you say he's pleasant, sweet to be with him, wonderful to be with him? He is the one that can bring rest to us. Are you satisfied today with Jesus? God is. Now he says also our bed is green. Well, actually it is the reclining couch where they sat around the banquet, or the couch that the king would sit upon. And I think it's a picture of the banquet couch here. And it was always strewn with flowers and green leaves as for a marriage feast. And what a beautiful picture it is. Now, I very frankly think that it could be the green grass where the sheep were, that was the place where they were sitting. They were reclining there. It could be in the palace in Jerusalem. I don't know. All I know is that what we have here is this glorious, wonderful picture. And here is where she talks to the shepherd about the sheep. Here is where she can commune with him. And there's communication. And David put it like this, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And when a sheep lies down in green pastures, he's full. He's had enough. And he always makes us lie down in green pastures, you see. What a beautiful picture this is, and what a lovely picture it is. Oh, to come and rest. And that's his invitation. Come and rest, he says, those that are heavy laden. Are you tired? Are you weary? Christian friend, rest in him. As someone has put it, heavy laden and hopeless thou art, seeking peace afar off and passing him who is near, like Hagar in the desert, with the last drop drained from the now shriveled water skin, thou art ready to lie down and die. But open thine ears, and thou wilt hear one say, "Come unto me, and I'll rest you." Open thine eyes, and thou wilt see the well and the green sward around it, and with a full heart, thou will answer him, "Behold, thou art pleasant. Also our couch is green." What a picture. What a beautiful picture. And you remember where he reclined. When he first came to this earth, they put him in a manger. And the last place they put him was in that tomb of Joseph. May I say to you, he went to that place that you and I might sit down with him in green pastures. What a picture we have here, friends.